Let's read together Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. The gift of God's Son, the eternal Son, becoming a human being. From the perspective of what happened here on earth, page 1590 in your pew Bibles, Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And for our text, I want to take the verse that's printed on the front of your bulletins from Mark 10, verse 45, where Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Came not to be served, but to serve and give his life. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the Christmas story, a true story. Scripture record is faithful, accurate. The Christmas story begins in a little town in Israel, a forgotten town, a despised and ignored town. A town that's never ever mentioned in the Old Testament, not even once. A town that has no pedigree among the prophets. Nobody ever important ever came from this town. Nothing important ever happened in this town in the history of God's people. It was truly a no-name town. It was truly a nowhere place. Even the Christmas carols do not mention this town. Maybe there's one, but I searched high and low. I found one with the title of the town, but it doesn't actually talk about it. And it's in this forgotten town where the life of baby Jesus began. This forgotten town. Not the little town of Bethlehem where Jesus was born. That's not where his life began. Bethlehem at least had some importance. It's mentioned in the Old Testament several times. That's where great King David came from. It was in the holy province of Judea, sort of in the center of the nation. You know what town I'm talking about, the forgotten town, the little town of Nazareth. Nazareth gets no honorable mention, even though in the New Testament it's named about 32 times and Bethlehem 7 or 8. But that's where Mary and Joseph lived. Pledged to be married, but still living in their with their parents in their own homes. That's where this Christmas story starts, Luke 1. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. That's where Jesus' life on earth, the Son of God, coming down from heaven to earth, that's where his life began. He was conceived there by the power of the Holy Spirit. Spent about the first 8 months of his life there before making the trek to Bethlehem with his mother, Mary, and adoptive father, Joseph, under the edict of Caesar Augustus. We read that in our text, Luke 2, verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee. We forget that part. It gets skipped over. It's important. Because that's where Jesus, that's where God began his life on earth. And after becoming a refugee in Egypt for a little while, being born in Bethlehem, becoming a refugee in Egypt, that's where he grew up for 30 years. That's where God chose to live, Nazareth. Don't tell me that's not important. That's extremely important, and it tells us a lot about who God is, who Jesus is, and how he saves us from our sins. Nazareth is where God came down to live among us. It was in Galilee. There it's referred to in Luke 2, verse 4. Nazareth in Galilee. Galilee was also called Galilee of the Gentiles as a province. It wasn't like Holy Judea in the center where the capital city Jerusalem was. That was more clean territory. Galilee was up against Gentile property. It was less clean. It was more impure. Certainly no Messiah would come from Galilee. There was a saying in that day. The word on the street, we read that in John 7. Go search and see. No prophet arises from Galilee. So if God's going to send salvation, it's not going to be in Galilee. And it's certainly not going to be from Nazareth. You remember later on when Philip was called to be a disciple of Jesus, that Jesus goes and tells Nathanael, his buddy, we've met Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah. And remember what Nathanael says? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nazareth, says the Illustrated Bible Dictionary, was an isolated frontier town on the southern border of the tribe of Zebulun with a reputation for having no important place in the national religious life of Israel. A reputation of having no reputation. If anything, it had a reputation for poor morals, low religious life, and a crude dialect. Every nation has its dialects, and some are viewed to be higher and closer to the real thing, and some viewed to be more gibberish. And, well, Nazareth was a place of gibberish when it comes to true Hebrew. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Obviously not. O little town of Nazareth, so lowly and despised. Can any good come from this place where prophets ne'er arise? The sun came down from heaven in Nazareth conceived, and there God chose to live with us, the Virgin Mary's seed. And in Jesus' time, when he was doing his ministry, if people wanted to cast aspersion on him, they would call him Jesus of Nazareth. That was a term of doubt or even derision. The crowds called him by that name often. His enemies liked that name. Remember in Pilate's courtyard, where one of the maids says to Peter, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And remember later when the enemies of Stephen, the enemies of Christ, were going to stone Stephen to death, their charge was, we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place. The demons like to use that word, Mark 1. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? To say Jesus of Nazareth meant, is that all he is? How can he really be somebody if he's from Nazareth? This guy's a nobody from nowhere. Later, Nazareth became the code word for Jesus' arrest. Remember? Judas had arranged a signal with the soldiers, and they came to seize Jesus, and he asked, who is it that you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. I am he. They fell back. He asked again, who is it that you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. Code word for his arrest, but Nazareth was his name, and Nazareth became his crime. You remember that when the soldiers later crucified him? What Pontius Pilate had prepared, the placard, the title for above his head? Remember what that said? Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Nazareth, his name and his crime. He was obviously no king. He was from Nazareth. He was obviously a charlatan, a fraud, a good for nothing. He was from Nazareth. He was obviously guilty. He was from Nazareth. O holy king from Nazareth, how can you be the one to rule God's kingdom evermore when from this town you come? In pride we mocked God's servant, this lowly Nazarene, and nailed this crime of Nazareth to Christ upon the tree. Later, Jesus died and rose again from the grave, and then for believers it became a title of honor. Peter said to the layman, remember, at the temple, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the ascended Christ said to Saul of Tarsus, when he made Saul fall off his high horse, and Saul asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. But what's the main thing we can learn from this forgotten place where God chose to live among us? What does it tell us about God? What does it tell us about Jesus? What does it tell us about ourselves and how to be saved? That's what I want to look at secondly. What does it tell us about him? He could have picked Jerusalem as the place to live, the holy city. That's where kings dwell, you know. That's where the temple is. Isn't that where God lives? That's where the important people are. If you want to be a somebody in God's kingdom, don't choose Nazareth. Go choose Jerusalem. But he chose to become a nobody from nowhere, a servant in a city from which nothing good comes. It shows us his servanthood. It models for us the truth about which Jesus spoke in Mark 10 when the disciples were arguing about who's going to be the great somebody in Jesus' kingdom. He says, my disciples don't think that way or argue that way because I don't think that way. I didn't come that way. He said, whoever wants to be great among you must become your servant. And then he said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve. And his choice to live in Nazareth is proof of his mission. He came to serve. He came to become a nobody so that nobody sinners could become somebody with God. That's why he came. And that's why he chose Nazareth. It was not an accident. Jesus is the creator and he chooses how and where he's going to live on earth when he becomes a child. He made a Virgin Mary his choice. He made her town his choice, and Joseph's town, his adoptive father, his choice. He came to serve. So I want to draw three applications from God's choice to live in the little town of Nazareth. Again, continuing with the meaning of this for him and for us. Number one, it shows his humility. How he was willing to become a nobody from nowhere. To let go of himself. In order to lift others up. How he was willing to enter shame and disgrace to become Jesus of Nazareth in order to redeem us from our shame and disgrace. That's why he came, to enter our shame and take it upon himself and get rid of it in his death, finally, so that we could be set free from our shame and disgrace that our sins have brought upon our lives, the stench that our sins have brought on us. Philippians 2 says, though Jesus is God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself what? Nothing. Taking the form of a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The shape of the cross is on the town of Nazareth. Came to become nobody. He made himself poor so that we who are poor might be made rich. He didn't come to honor himself. He came to give up his life, not to preserve and protect it. And you know, brothers and sisters, that's how sinners are saved. That Jesus didn't come to be somebody and have others serve him. But he became nothing in order to serve us, the gift of salvation. In Nazareth and finally on the cross, he took our place. He stood in our sin and our curse, our shame and punishment, and he became poor in glory and reputation in order to make us rich in glory and reputation. He lowered himself down to earth in order to lift us up to heaven. He came to lowly Nazareth. He came to earth to serve, to bear our sin and punishment, the curse that we deserve. He yielded heaven's riches and for our sake was poor, to make us rich with heaven's wealth in glory evermore. Number one, it shows his humility. Number two, it shows his accessibility. God lives in the small, obscure places too, not only in Jerusalem. Imagine if God came to live on Bay Street. You got the news, good news. God has come to live on Bay Street. Well, nice, but not very accessible. A few of us, maybe. I know, no offense here. But what if we heard instead, God has come and he lives in Glencoe. That's a different ring. God has come and he lives in Appen. He's chosen Watford to be his home. God lives in Watford. Wait, he even picked Strathroy. God came to live in Strathroy. That changes everything. That tells you so much about him. You don't have to be a somebody for him to recognize you and to receive you into his house. Yeah, the rich guy in his mansion matters very much to Jesus, but so does the peasant guy in the tiny apartment. He came to serve us all with salvation. And he says today to us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I don't live in a gated community where you need a special code to come in. I live in Glencoe, and my door is open to everybody who comes. I will turn no one away. And there's nobody who cannot get to my house. Nobody who cannot get to me. Isn't that great? Jesus of Nazareth. Good news, he came. Good news, he became one of us. Good news, he chose Nazareth as his dwelling place. We're all equally unworthy of salvation. And thankfully, he receives us not based on how rich or famous or powerful we are or where we're from, but he accepts us because of his love. And whoever falls before him is a needy person, stinking from the shame of sin, because of where your mind has been, where your eyes have been, where your desires have been, where your heart has been, where your body has been. Everyone who says, God be merciful to me, a sinner, can find access to him. Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your name is full of grace. From towns and cities everywhere, all nations seek your face. For you, there's none too wicked and none too low to save. Can any good from Nazareth come? The greatest God can give. So whoever you are, wherever you live, wherever you're from, whatever situation you're in, he came for you. You may know that for sure. He proved that in living in Nazareth. The angel said to lowly shepherds, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. To you. He's for the despised, the forgotten, the obscure. He will not turn any away. And thirdly, why did he come to Nazareth? It shows his humility. It shows his accessibility. But one more thing. It humbles us and teaches us to pour contempt on all our pride. As proud sinners, we want a Savior who will elevate us and make us feel good about ourselves and honor our dignity and our importance. And so the Jews from Nazareth, we don't want him. We're looking for somebody dressed in gold, riding around in a limo, who's from Jerusalem. And we'll accept that. That will make us feel better about ourselves. And the Gentiles, what salvation? That somebody stretched out on a disgusting cross? No way. I will not sacrifice my dignity for something like that. We want a salvation. We want a king, a Savior who will elevate us. Well, he does, but through taking us down to die to ourselves and our dignity and pride and throw ourselves away so that we can have life in him. And so he chose Nazareth and he chose the cross, because the problem is our conceit. That's the problem that needs to be solved. The problem is our pride. That's the problem that needs to be solved. And there's nothing like saying, go knock on the door of Jesus at Nazareth to be washed in his blood. I think of the lesson Naaman the Syrian teaches us, or God teaches us through Naaman the Syrian. Remember that important guy, that commander of the Syrian army who had leprosy? And he's advised by a little slave girl, you can find healing through the prophet in Israel. So he goes to the king. The king sends him to Elisha. He's got this caravan loaded with gifts. He's going to maintain his dignity and buy this healing. And he goes to Elisha's door, and Elisha says, sends his servant, go tell the king to bathe in the Jordan River, or this commander of the army, bathe in the Jordan River 7 times. He did that to humble Naaman, to realize his real problem wasn't leprosy. He had a proud heart, an unbroken heart before God. That's the leprosy that he needed to be healed from. And remember how furious Naaman was. He doesn't even come to the door to talk to me. Doesn't he know who I am? And bathe in that dirty Jordan Creek. There is no way. I'm going to go back to Damascus and bathe in the Pharpar River. That's clean water. That's a big river. That will elevate my dignity. And his servants coaxed him. We came all this way. We brought all these gifts. Come on, can't you try it? And he humbled himself. And he bathed in the dirty little creek, the Jordan River, 7 times, and his skin became clean. But his heart was also washed because he gave in to Israel's God and said, I am nothing before you. You are everything. I am dirty. You're clean. And that's the way we're saved, to bathe in the Jordan River that runs through Nazareth and through the cross, the Jordan River of Jesus' death on the cross for sinners. To lay ourselves before him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am unworthy. I am undone. I am foul and full of sin. But you are accessible. You died. You took my shame upon yourself, my sin, God's wrath. And in you, I am set free. You came down to earth to lift me up to heaven. Help me to find you where you are. Help me to throw myself away so that I can find myself in you. Amen. We praise you, Lord, for Jesus of Nazareth. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for settling in that forgotten, lowly, despised place. Can any good come from Nazareth? Indeed, the greatest God can give. Humble our hearts to find salvation in the crucified one, the one who became nothing for us, so that we might become the children of God. Help us to bathe in that stream of his blood, the disgusting, shameful, crucified sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, risen again for us and ascended so that we might rise in newness of life and ascend to heaven. Thank you for the good news. In Jesus we pray. Amen.